4, Philippians chapter number 4, and preacher said 8:45, and Philippians chapter number 4, we'll begin reading verse number 1, Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech you, Dias, and beseech Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly, that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all, and abound, and I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Salute every saint. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Father, I pray that you bless now the reading of your word. Father, I pray that you speak to hearts tonight. Father, thank you for the good singing. Father, thank you for the message that was preached just a few minutes ago. Father, thank you for church and folks that come on Wednesday night and, Father, have a desire to worship you and to be in your presence and to hear from you. Now, I ask you, Father, that you'd help me to have clarity of speech, clarity of mind. I mean, behind the cross, Father, we don't need to hear from a man tonight, but, well, Father, we need to hear from you. And, Father, I pray that you speak through me to your people. I pray that you'd meet every need. Well, if I knew all the needs, I couldn't meet them. But, Father, you do know them all, and you can meet them. And I ask you that you do a great and mighty thing tonight. Father, you say in Jeremiah 33, call unto me, and I'll answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. We ask for those great things in Jesus' name. Amen. Here in the book of Philippians, the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Philippi, the church of Macedonia. It is a church that had been with the Apostle Paul from the beginning. He states that in verse number 15. He said, ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Back in verse number chapter number 1, he makes the statement also again in Philippians chapter number 1. He says, always in every prayer, I'll pick up with verse 4. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy. Verse number 3, he talked about thanking God for them. He said, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. The church at Philippi was a church that had been with the Apostle Paul from the outset of his ministry. They were somebody that wanted to be a part of what he was doing. This book is known as the Book of Joy, and as we study out the Philippian church and these folks of Macedonia, we see them mentioned in a lot of places of Scripture. For the sake of time, we can't dig into all of that, but this church had been with him from the very beginning. Not everybody had been with him. There was not everybody wanted to be a part of what Paul was doing. And that's the case with a lot of people. Not everybody wants to be a part of everything you're doing. Amen. But I'm thankful God wants to be a part of what we're doing. Amen. Preacher talks about old time worship. He's right. People got to make a decision about what they want to do or what they don't want to do. You can't make anybody serve God. They're going to have to serve on their own. People are going to have to enlist. They're going to have to get involved on their own. But Paul was thankful for this church. He was thankful for them because they had been through a lot of things and they had been with him from the very beginning. This is a church that we see mentioned over in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 when he mentions the churches of Macedonia. If you flip over there, I believe I preached from this passage of Scripture last time I was here in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, and I just want to allude to it again tonight. But in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, this is where we get our faith promise giving all from in missions. He says verse number 1, he says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia." Now what did he just say? I love that language. He says, "I do you to wit." I want you to witness. I want you to see. I want you to take notice of what's going on. And what he wanted them to notice was the grace that had been bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. This would include Philippi. This is the church that had communicated with him. This is the one that he knew about, that had experienced the grace of God. This is the one he's writing about in Philippi. And he's saying, "I want you to notice." Now, what is he doing? He's writing to the church at Corinth in a second letter to get them to follow through on what they had promised to do after he wrote his first letter. In the first letter, he taught them how to give. You've heard the great preaching of Brother Stennett Blue on 1 Corinthians chapter number 16 and how that's where we get the foundation of our missions giving. And he taught them about all that giving. That carnal church had all that sin in it. He still taught them how to give. And so he writes to them about giving. They made some commitments that we see in 2 Corinthians. But when he comes to this second letter, he wants them to follow through on what they said they would do after he had written his first letter. And so what does he do? He gets up and says, "Hey, I want you to notice the churches in Macedonia. I want you to see the grace that's been bestowed on them." Now, if I came in here and did that tonight, you'd be a little bit offended. If I walked in here and said, "Hey, let me tell you what they're doing over in Sutherland, Virginia at Victory Baptist Church." Or if I told you, "Hey, let me tell you what's going on at Gospel Light Baptist Church in Jackson, Tennessee." You'd get a little offended and you'd probably say, "Well, we really don't care what they're doing over at Gospel Light Baptist Church. And we really don't care what they're doing at Sutherland. We're an independent Baptist church and we're here in Wallen, Tennessee, and we're doing our thing, and we really don't care what you have to say about other churches. We're going to do what God tells us to do." But that's exactly what the Apostle Paul did. He wrote to them and said, "I want you to notice the grace bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, the grace that's given." Now, I'm not going to go into all of it, but look in verse number 2, the contrast. He gives two great contrasts. He says how that in a great trial of affliction, they had what? They had what? What does the Bible say? They had abundance of joy. Then he said they had what? Deep poverty. Right? They had deep poverty. What did deep poverty do? It abounded to the riches of their liberality. These two great contrasts, the message I've preached before, two great contrasts, deep poverty and affliction, but they had joy and they had riches of liberality. They are not being confined by anything other than the sovereign, holy God of heaven. They're not confined by anything else in life. This is the church he's writing to when he's writing to them in Philippians. He's writing to a church that's experienced the grace of Almighty God. Notice what it said. He said, "I want you to see the grace." He said, "How that in deep poverty..." He said, how in great trials of affliction, and he said, deep poverty. Wait a minute, I thought he wanted them to see grace. But then he explains grace. Grace doesn't mean all your trouble's going to be fixed. In fact, it is your trouble that demonstrates the grace of God to a lost and dying world. It is our trouble. It is our problems. It is our afflictions. It is what God brings into our life that demonstrates to a lost and dying world what's the grace that we're living by, what God has truly done for us. It is what turns a wicked world to a holy God when they see God's people walking in a wicked world and doing right. He said, I want you to see grace. The charismatics will get up and tell you, and the contemporary crowd will get and tell you that if you'll just do right, if you'll do everything perfect, that you'll live without sickness and you'll live without problem. It's a lie straight out of the pits of hell. It is not right. It is wrong, and it is of the devil. You may have trouble. You may have problems. In fact, you probably will. But you can have the grace and the mercy of Almighty God while you're going through it. You cannot and you do not have to be defined by your circumstance, nor defined by your abilities, or defined by your possessions. You can be defined by a relationship with the sovereign, holy God in heaven. You can, if you want to. Now, as Paul writes to this Philippian church, and he writes this letter, he is about to finish it up. And he lays out for some things for them that he wants them to remember. Notice in verse number 1. Underline this phrase. And he said, my joy and crown, in the middle of the verse, so stand fast. Stand fast. He's writing to the church at Philippi, a church that he's used as an example for other churches, a church that has lived according to the grace of God, a church that is moved only by the sovereign God of heaven, that has lived beyond their resources, beyond their circumstances, and he writes to them and he says, I want you to be faithful. I want you to be faithful. Stand fast. Stand fast. If there is ever a time in our world when we need a church of churches and individuals to be faithful, it is right now. I am sick and tired of coming home from the mission field or hearing from the mission field about a missionary coming home and not doing what they used to do. I'm tired of hearing about churches not doing what they're supposed to do. I'm tired of going to churches where half the people are no longer there. I'm tired of coming home from the mission field and 20 pastors being gone from their churches. I'm tired of people not being faithful. Sorry, but I'm tired. We need to learn faithfulness. Faithfulness to the house of God. Being here on Sunday morning. Being here on Sunday night. Being here on Wednesday night. Being on your mind, the people of God. Being faithful not only to the church, but being to the people. Thinking about them. Praying for them. Keeping them on your mind. Giving them a call. Talking to them. Having relationships outside on Sunday. Outside of Wednesday. Doing something. Having a faithfulness with the people of God. Being faithful to the man of God. How many people and how many churches are not faithful to the man of God? How we ought to be faithful to the man of God. We ought to be faithful to the word of God. Do you know how many churches are laying down the old King James Bible, going to the ESV, the NIV, the MIC, KEY, MOUSC? It doesn't matter. It's all a bunch of garbage. God gave us the word of God. He put his word into the English language on purpose. I ain't got time to go digging and all that, but you listen to me. You can talk about English language all you want to. God had it in Greek because Greek was used worldwide. By the way, Jesus didn't speak in Greek. Think about it. All them stories and that preaching of Jesus wasn't done in Greek, but it was wrote in Greek. So they done translated it once. You understand what I'm saying? Paul didn't preach in Greek all the time. In fact, it specifically says in Acts that one time he used Hebrew and they were all stunned that he used it. But it was penned in Greek. Why? Because God put it in Greek for the common person to understand it. Because God never has people wanted people to have to go to a pope or to a priest or to a clergy in order to get something. He gave us the precious word of God. He gave it to me so that I can have it. I can pick up the pages and read the precious word of God. I don't have to go through a man. I believe in the priesthood of the believer. I can go directly to God and directly to his word. Now, that don't mean you can stay at home and not get something. And avoid the word. I'll tell you, the key to getting something at home is getting something at the church house. Amen. You can find that in the Bible.
Yes, sir.
God put his word in English. Now you can believe whatever you want about it. You explain how the nations of the world, Nepal, takes 12 years of English. They take 2 years before they ever start Nepali grammar or Nepali spelling. They had to take 2 years of English. And they have to write an essay, 3 or 4 page essay, and take an English exam that's about 5 pages long before they can get their diploma or school leaving certificate. You tell me why that would happen. Why in China and Russia, two countries that hate us, have to take English. You explain that to me. Now, I'm simple-minded. I'm not really bright. But it seems to me that God knew something back in 1611 that probably a lot of other people didn't know. He probably knew exactly what was going to happen in the year 2000. Figure?
Yes, sir.
Faithfulness.
Yes.
Faithfulness in verse number 2 and 3, you'll talk about unity and you'll talk about partnerships. Faithfulness will include unity and partnerships. Listen to me. You don't have to be mad at everybody because they don't do it your way.
Wow.
You really don't. I'll go to a camp meeting sometimes and I get to go 3 or 4 while we're home. I try to avoid all the ones that are going to go and they're going to preach at everybody there. I want to go here. I don't mind hard preaching. You preach on doctrine. You preach on something I disagree with. You give me book. But just to get up there and yelp at everybody about what you don't like about them, I'm going to tell you what, brother. The Bible says Jesus brought division, but he didn't want to do it on purpose. He wants unity. It is a blessing to have unity. We ought to look at what binds us instead of what divides us. I'm not talking about doctrine. I'm not talking about the charismatic movement. I'm not talking about hooking up with junk. I'm talking about brethren that require always a white shirt. Do you understand what I'm saying? Or my glasses can't have wires on them, or they can't have that hidden. I'm simply saying to you that faithfulness includes a little unity. If you think you're going to have a bad attitude towards everybody and still be faithful 20 years from now, you've got a sad life coming ahead of you. Partnerships is seen in verse number 3. There are divine partnerships. It's verse number 2 and carried into verse number 3. He talks about yoke fellows. He talks about labored with me in the gospel. He talks about how they were fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. He said, entreat them. He said, help them. You're going to need divine partnerships. By the way, that's what missions is all about. You having a divine partner, that a divine relationship, partnership that God has put together so you can be preaching the gospel where you can't go.
Amen.
That's exactly what it's about. This church extending its reach down in South America, reaching into Russia, reaching into China, reaching into Nepal, reaching all the way around the world in Africa, in all the countries of Africa, Cameroon and Madagascar and Ivory Coast and all those places. You have divine partnerships that God put together so the sun never sets on your ministry, so that the ministry of this church goes forward.
Amen.
Faithfulness. Look at verse number 4. He said, be faithful. Verse number 4, he said, be joyful. It really upsets me because Baptists are on a death march to heaven. Here we are again. Well, praise the Lord. I'm thankful to go to a Wednesday night service where there's a little life. Even if you see it lively on Sunday, you show up on Wednesday, I ain't not going to be but the 10 or 12 people there, and they're going to be dead. I'm telling you what, we got something to be happy about. We got something to be joyful about. If God never did anything for you but save your dirty, rotten soul, you ought to praise God every second, every minute of every hour of every day till the day you die, because you're not in hell burning forever by the grace. grace and mercy of a sovereign holy God in heaven, he saved you. He's done a whole lot for you. You got clothes on, don't you?
Yes.
You got a paycheck this week, didn't you? You got heat at the house, don't you? You got a roof over your head, don't you? Yeah, you got a lot to be thankful for. Quit with the death march unto God and come in joyful and happy. Shout her out. Jump the pews. Run around. Let the world know my God is real. Be joyful. We got a lot to be happy about. I went to a meeting and I got there late. I knew I was going to be late when I left. I was glad I got late when I got there and that preacher was preaching. He was about done, and I was glad he was. This is what he said from the pulpit. God never intended for you to be happy. Then he turned to the pastor. It's been years since I've been happy. I turned to my wife and I said, everybody in here knows it too. That's a lie to the pit of hell. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. What does that word blessed mean? It means more than happy because he used blessed. But study the word out and you'll find blessed means happy.
Yes, sir.
Blessed is the man that hungers and thirsts after righteousness. What's that man of God saying in that pulpit? He not very hungry for righteousness.
Yes, sir.
Come on now. Living for God is not a drudgery.
Yes.
It's a joy.
Yes, sir.
To realize I get to miss out on a lot of junk because I serve Almighty God.
Yes.
To realize that no matter the problems that come my way, no matter how bad it might get, I've got God on my side. He's in me, helping me, comforting me, leading me, directing me in everything that I do.
Yes.
I got a reason to be happy.
Yes.
Well, ain't it hard to go to Nepal? No. Why would it be hard? Now, I ain't one of those that thinks that Nepal took the place of America for me. I like it. It's home. But I like America a lot better. I like the church services in America a lot better. Come on. Don't look at me strange. I know all the missionaries come up here and telling you, I'm just looking forward to when I can get back. Well, that's true. I can't wait to get back. But when I get there, I can't wait to come back to America. I mean, that's all true. They're not lying to you, but I'm telling you. Now, there are some people I've met, man, they're really good like that. I like America. I'm thankful for it. But I'd rather serve my God and have what God's got for me.
Yes.
Than to live here.
Yes.
And by the way, we really ain't got much. And what we export to other countries ain't very much either. We give them our music. We give them our movies. Yeah. Yeah, all that rock music and pop music all in Nepal. In English. We ought to be joyful.
Yes, sir.
You ought to be happy. I know joy and happiness are not the exact same thing. But you know joy brings happiness.
Sure.
You can have that contentment and that comfort that just... When the burdens, and I know you're crying your eyes out and the struggle is real. I know it. But that joy, that ability to have that joy that's right there with you. Those Philippians knew exactly all about that joy. And you know what joy leads to? Oh, it leads to a smile. And it leads to happiness at the house of God. Be faithful, verse number one. Be joyful, verse number two. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be ready. Let your moderation be known to all men. For the Lord is at hand. I've got to hurry for the sake of time. And I know that saved people ought not chew. There's a lot that do. That rhymed. I realized I was in West Tennessee. We don't grow tobacco. So everybody there preaches against tobacco. Then I went to North Carolina one day and I found out all the preachers there don't preach against tobacco. You know why, don't you? Because they all grow it. It's kind of hard for them to preach against. They should preach against it, but they don't. But I picture this, let your moderation be known unto all men, for the Lord is at hand. You ought to live every moment as if the next moment is going to be stood before Christ.
Yes.
I think of the man that chews red man. Got a big old jaw. And just about the time he takes a spit, the trumpet sounds. And he's a saved man. And the spit finishes up in heaven. Or the smoker. And just as he blows it out, he blows it out in heaven. Or you're driving down the road and you're just about to be as bad as you are when they don't drive like they're supposed to. And just the trumpet sounds and there you are before God. You ought to live every moment of your life as if God's coming back. It changed how you live. It changed where you go. It changed how... I can't go there. Pastor, go on that all that later on. It'll change how you dress, how you talk, how you walk, what you listen to. It'll change a lot if you believed at any moment that you'd see the Lord. Yeah, it would. When you're getting ready to yell at your kid. Verse number 6. Be careful for nothing. Be faithful, verse number 1. Be joyful, verse number 2. Be ready, verse number 5. Verse number 6, be careful for nothing. Be confident. Watch this. You know how many people never do anything because they're afraid?
Yes, sir.
Well, I need you to do this. Well, let me see. I'll pray about it. May I say this? If you're in this local church and it's put on the leadership of this church, your pastors or the leadership of this church to ask you to do something, you probably ain't got to pray about it. God already put you here. Why did he put you here? He didn't put you here to sit. He put you here to do. And the opportunities come as God leads others in order to invite you and to enlist you into the work that God's got for you to do. In other words, we do a lot of soul searching about things that we ought not to soul search about. We ought to just go and get involved. Now, I'm not telling you not to pray. The verse teaches this. Watch it. Be confident. Quit worrying about every little decision. Notice what he says in verse number 6. He said, but in everything by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. Now watch this. I'm all for closet prayer. I'm sure there's not enough of it. And I'm all for corporate prayer. Man, what a blessing tonight. And I'm sure we don't do enough of it. But you know what? Most people don't preach on. They'll mention it. You ought to be praying without ceasing. And you know, if you're praying without ceasing, you can't get into gross sin, because if you're praying to God and talking to God every minute of the day and sin comes into your life, you're immediately going to confess it to God. Deep sin is a sign that you ain't been praying without ceasing. And you're being worried about every little thing about mess. Listen, this life is full of messing up. You're going to mess up. But if you're praying without ceasing and you're thanking God for everything in your life, when the Holy Spirit of God speaks, do. What's hindering the Holy Spirit of God moving in our own lives and in our churches, because we're hindered individually, is because when He's speaking, we're not doing. We got to spend 20 minutes to get confessed up before we can ask God for anything. If you're praying without ceasing, you're confessed up all the time. Be confident. Be prayerful. Be thankful. Verse number 7, be at peace. Boy, isn't it nice to lay your head down at night, no matter what's going on in your life, and the peace of God that passes all understanding. Yeah. Trouble come your way, problems come your way, friends turn on you, people turn on you, but the peace of God passes all understanding. Be at peace. Paul's writing to the church. Wait a minute, he's not railing on them. He knows their faithfulness. He knows them, but he wants them to continue in these things. Verse number 8 and 9. I'm out of time already. 8 and 9. Watch this. He goes through all those things. Lovely. Those things that are pure. Those things that are all these things. Notice verse number 9. What you've learned, received, heard, and seen in me. That last little phrase is the problem. Yeah. Mamas and daddies.
Yes, sir.
This is the problem. You learned it. You received it. You heard it. But they ain't seeing it. Well, that's what Daddy said. But I never saw Daddy do it. That's what Mama said. But I never saw her do it. I heard it. Come on, church. We don't need hearers. We need doers.
Yes, sir.
Now, you got to be a hearer to be a doer. But it does you no good to come to this church and hear what's preached tonight or preached on Sunday. What that young man preached or what I'm preaching or what the preacher will preach on Sunday morning. It does you absolutely no good for you to come and sit in this church, enjoy the singing, and give in the offering. Do your duty to be in church and the preacher preach his heart out and for you to hear what he says and go home and do exactly the same thing you've always done. That is not biblical Christianity.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Be faithful, verse number one. Be joyful, verse number four. Be ready, verse number five. Be confident, verse number six. Be prayerful and thankful, in verse number six. Be at peace, verse number seven. Verse eight and nine, be doers. Then he says two great verses that we love to hear. Verse number 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I can. Paul looked at those Philippians that had been with him and given to him all this time, and you know what he said? He said, I can do all things through Christ. You know what this is what he was basically saying. I don't need you. I don't have to have you. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, this is why I know this is what he's saying. Notwithstanding, verse number 14, ye did well to communicate with me. And then he talks about how his needs were met through that local place. And he's telling them, I can do all things through Christ. Why is he doing that? Is he doing it to be mean, trying to tell them? I mean, he's telling them, I can do it without you. But you did well to communicate. Is he trying to be mean and ugly and rude? No, he wants them to understand that whatever's going to be done, it's got to be done through the sovereign holy work of God in heaven. That it cannot be done in my strength. It cannot be done in your strength. It is God. It is God. It is God that does the work, not me. It is God that wins souls in Nepal. It's God that builds a church in America or in Nepal or in Russia. It is God that raises up preachers. God can. God can. I can. I can. We can. We can. Why? Verse number 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. You know why I can? Because he will. I can. Because he will. He will supply. That church had poured themselves out. But Paul looked back at them. This promise of God supplying your need is not to everybody. It's only those who are invested in God's works. And Paul talked about all the abundance. And he said this, but my God shall supply all your need. My need's been met by you. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. How much has he got? How much has he got? How much has he got? He's got everything. The cattle of 1,000 hills, he owns the hills. Bill Gates, who's that? God's got it all. I'm not restricted. My daddy has it all. All I got to do is ask. All I got to do is go to him. I don't have to be fearful of governments. I don't have to be fearful of the enemy. All I have to do is call on my God. I can, we can, because our God will. I can. Trust him. I can. And though the world turn against him, though America's government turn against him, though preachers fall on every hand, and others come home and churches turn on God, we can be faithful. We can be joyful. We can be confident. We can be at peace. We can be prayerful. We can be thankful. We can be doers. Because our God will meet every need. I can. Because our God will. Father, I thank you for the word of God. And I pray that you do great things. Meet the needs in this place. Father, help the one that struggles so desperately to do right. Help them to know they can. Because you will meet their need. Help this church, help this pastor, help these people, help each home. Draw the sinner unto you. Bless the saints. In Jesus' name, amen, preacher.